in various areas of the state regarding looking at redistricting options. I will call the roll, don't worry. I have to wait till John is ready. Okay, now would you call the roll, because you're ready?
Thank you. Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Crisman.
Here.
Cook.
Here.
Grinberg.
Here.
Klein.
Here.
Leeson.
Here.
Taylor.
Here.
Warner.
Here.
Representatives Blue.
Here.
Devlin.
Here.
Holman.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Casper.
Here.
Kels.
Here.
Munson.
Here.
Nafee.
Okay, can we have a motion on the minutes that were mailed to Grinberg moves, seconded by
Klein.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That motion carried. There's been some work in various areas. We will have a recap of various areas of the state. I will report I visited with Representative Nafee, who was having some planned surgery, and he will not be here. They have had some meetings in the Bismarck area. They plan to have some more and should have some suggestions for the legislature when we get to our meeting in Fargo in a few weeks. His report is that they've determined that they would like to have the urban area of Bismarck represented by 5 districts. The Burleigh County has 81,000 people in it, according to the census. 5 districts is 71,000 people. That's at 14,310, which leaves about 10,000 left over, but I have no idea what they're talking about as far as are they north, are they south, because they still are working on that. But that makes a big difference if that's the direction the committee and the legislature goes regarding the rural areas around Burleigh County, that abut Burleigh County, whether it's 8, 14, 28, that has implications for those particular districts. So he was sitting up, he was smiling, he had his finger off of the morphine button, which I told him I had the same surgery 10 years ago, and they couldn't get my hand off the morphine button for days after the surgery, but he was doing fine and looking forward to finishing his recovery and going home. So, and he's at St. Alexius, if you want to know. Let's go around and hold on 1 second. Another region of the state that has implications for lines is Cass County. And I will let someone, I went down to Fargo the other day and sat in on a meeting where they discussed various options. So one of our people from the Fargo area want to report. Senator Grinberg, would you give us a report?
Thank you.
An extensive report.
Mr. Chairman, as you've alluded, I've presented an overview of our work to date, the background memo or guidelines, if you will, some of the historical information, as well as the costs of adding districts. Had a meeting Tuesday night, which was very interesting when you get 20 or so type A's in a room, and had some productive discussions as the evening wore on, and some work has to be done yet, particularly in visiting with those folks in District 22. As the committee may be aware, there's 149,000 people in Cass County, and the presumption is adding a district, going to 10 districts, do the math at 14,310. That's about 6,000 extra people, if you will. And so the rural area of the county is where the where are those people going to go, and how's it going to be configured, and we're not totally there yet. I did meet with some members of the minority party in Fargo, and provided them an update, and there are a few others that I do intend to share one-on-one, and I believe we will have a plan to present at the August 23rd meeting in Fargo.
Anything to add, Representative Casper? Okay, is there any questions that anyone has regarding the, what they're doing in Fargo? I think if you recall, looking at the map, District 27 is 81% too many people. It's right next to District 13 that has a large surplus of folks.
Yeah, that's correct, Mr. Chairman. Off the top of my head, District 22 presently is 45% over. District 13 was 20-some percent over. District 27, which has doubled, just under 100% growth. And that's where the population surge is in Cass County, is to the southwest, West Fargo, rural Cass, and south central.
And you're looking at configurations, I'm guessing, that would, as well as you can, put growth areas, don't put all the growth areas in one district, that there will be projected growth areas in the new district in 27 and, of course, 22, which still is right up by Fargo.
In theory, yes, but, you know, there are a lot of factors. I mean, 10 years from now, we could be sitting here, or some of us, sitting here with a diversion running through many parts of the new district that's been proposed, as well as west side of 13. What will that mean to growth in those districts outside of the diversion? Your guess is as good as mine, but any growth would probably be inside the diversion and south. So, I mean, that's a what if or unknown yet, but 10 years from now, potentially there could be a diversion completed.
Representative Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just add that what we're attempting to do as much as possible is preserve the current districts because of their historical desire to keep their boundaries, but in some cases you're just having to move lines, but we're certainly not trying to make dramatic changes in current districts, if at all possible, other than the population areas that Senator Grinberg was talking about.
Now, your shortages were in the north end in Fargo, in 44 and 45,
move north.
And then a little bit in 21, 11, and then they all start being big and surplus population. And you've got, if you looked at that map of Fargo, you've got that one finger that comes in District 22 up towards the north end, which would appear to be a natural place to draw a line, even though the population up there isn't huge. So, no other questions on Fargo, or Cass County, excuse me? Minot.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I finally got to meet with our other district, and the Minot districts are, if we can keep the same continuous area, that they're happy with that. However, we do realize that, especially my district, District 38, we may have to go out and take another township or two to equalize the population a little better. The plan that I presented to this committee last meeting, as soon as I get the computer, some of the other districts want to tweak it a little bit if we can. I said, well, we'll look at it, but until we know what the populations are, I said, I don't know what will happen. So once we get the computer and we start tweaking this stuff, I think it's going to work out very well for the Minot area. There will be a few changes from the plan I presented last time, but overall, I don't think it's going to be really too much of a change. So with that, like I say, the Minot area legislators are pretty much on board with what we're trying to accomplish up there. We too in Minot are trying to keep our districts as the same as much as possible, and we know that's totally not going to happen, but the Minot area people are willing to look at different options and to change if we have to.
The folks out in, excuse me, West River, and there's a couple folks from West River, three people, West River, the one area, well, the two areas that have a population that is larger than they need for the current configuration is Dickinson. And Nancy, do you want to talk about the Dickinson area? And Dwight, if you want to talk, or Randy, want to talk big picture? Does one of you want to talk big picture West River and then look at the three individual areas, or do you want to just look at the individual areas? Senator Crispin?
Mr. Chairman, I haven't had the computer yet, but big picture is that those six districts are about the right size to continue to be six districts. And it's convenient how there's not just one, but two population increases that you mentioned in Dickinson and Mandan. And of course, the other four, well, three of the other four have losses. My particular district happens to be just kind of just right, but the losses are all contiguous to one or the other of the increasers, so you know it's just not going to probably be real dramatic to shift those around and balance out those districts out there. There was a lot of pain and heartburn 10 years ago in that area because it just seemed like it was insurmountable to think of going from seven districts down to six, but the numbers were what the numbers were, and we did it and took the pain, and right now there hasn't been enough change to really do much, so this time I think we get by with relatively small change. Now, as for the details of where population is pulled out of Mandan and Dickinson, perhaps Senator Cook and Representative Johnson can talk better about that.
Representative Johnson, do you want to talk about the Dickinson area?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have had a chance to visit with all of 36 and 37 legislators. I've not yet contacted 39. I've been kind of gone for a while there. But I think, you know, Dickinson needs to give up some population, which is pretty easy to drop right into 36. And then that makes 36 too much, but 39 is a little short, and I'm kind of, you know, I've suggested a couple of areas, and they seem to be thinking that would work okay for 36. So I still have yet to talk to 39, but I haven't gotten the computer either yet to, you know, mess around, but I have had a chance to visit with them. But I think, you know, I think I sent Senator Cook an email about a possible other suggestion to maybe make part of his district a little bit more back to its original shape, but I haven't again had a chance to mess to see how that would work. So,
and you're assuming it works, you are going to be able to have access to the computer between now and our meeting in Fargo.
That's my hope, yes.
Senator Cook?
Mr. Chairman, you know, I know what we have to do in District 34. We have to give up some. We don't want to, but we're going to have to. 45 districts, I don't think we'd have to give up any, but, you know, it's, we'll know what we have to give up. It's just a matter of, I think, what we do with 31 and 33. And Senator Crispin is right on the money. His comments that he made about it could be very easy. And his comment of the pain of 10 years ago, unfortunately, the pain of 10 years ago is a lot of people real close to me that aren't in my district, but they're in my town. And I haven't had the computer yet either. I'll get it in about 10 days. And I think as long as Dickinson District knows what they got to get up, we'll have a plan here by Fargo meeting.
Okay. Senator Crispin.
Sir, one other thought on the big picture of that area. You know, we've traditionally avoided crossing the river because of the inconveniences in so many places. I mean, there's just no commerce back and forth, or there's no bridges and that sort of thing. With the exception of the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation, they desire, and federal law allows them to keep that all in one district. So Senator Warner's district extends down across the river and into the south side. And in order to just kind of balance the numbers, 10 years ago, we didn't stop there. There's kind of three small communities and the townships around them that are outside of the reservation, but in District 4. And so, you know, and as the northeast corner of the state, as the picture gains clarity here, if a few more or a few less people are needed, I would think that either a little bit more could be put up into District 4 if they're short of people, or those three communities could be absorbed into 36. And you know, I think there's a little flexibility there because we've already cracked the line.
Senator Warner.
Mr. Chairman, I agree entirely with Senator Crispin, which is scary enough. We've done some projections where those three communities can all be added to 36, and that District 4 is made whole by just a modest expansion into McLean County on the east, which doesn't involve the city of Underwood. It does involve the cities of Cole Harbor and Riverdale. If we take over those two cities, then District 4 is whole again.
But you would retain the entire corpus of the reservation?
Yes, the entire reservation would remain in 4.
Senator Kelch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kelch, representative.
Oh, okay. I remember my problem I had the other time with, I've got the nameplate here. Okay.
I guess my question is, it was mentioned that in Fargo, both parties were involved in the discussion. I was wondering, is that happening in Bismarck, Minot, where there are no legislators, Democrat legislators? Are they inviting somebody there to have some input into what is being projected? And if not, I think they should be. You know, there's party activists that should be made aware, at least, of what is being thought should happen or will happen in those cities where there are no Democrat representatives or senators.
I can speak for two, and then I will let the others in Grand Forks. I've had meetings with all but one of the sitting Democrats, and that person was briefed by one of the others. So they have all been briefed as far as where we are in Grand Forks, and I have suggested if they have a better plan for the city of Grand Forks, by all means let me know. And I'd be very surprised if they could come up with one that makes as few changes as we do. Fargo, one of the reasons that Cass County, which has worked on things and done some tweaking, is that they want to have another opportunity to meet with minority members to look at the retweaks before they look at them in the newspaper. So in those two areas, it is correct. Representative Ballou.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate what Representative Kell said, because I have not personally invited the opposition party. I have made public statements, though, that any and all people are welcome to input on the redistricting plan. With what Representative Kell said, when I get the computer again, I will probably invite some of the Democrat party chairman to the meeting and just get their input, and then we'll go from there.
And I can't speak for Bismarck, because I just can't, because I never talked to Representative Nathy about that particular thing. But I think that is the right thing to do, to make sure that neither political party, whether it is a plan put together by Representative Holman, or if it's something put together by someone else, that those folks be part of the discussion, so they're not surprised. And that's the big thing, is not surprise people, because when you surprise people, their initial reaction is to be resistive of the change, because they're surprised and they have to be able to think about it for a while. So, point well taken. And then we have Senator Leeson, who is going to give us a lengthy report on Williston.
It won't be very lengthy, but we stepped in an area that's very easy for us to district, but Williston this time, District 1, is the city of Williston, and we have too many people now, so we have to give some up, so we had to give them to District 2, which fits in very well, because District 2 goes all the way to the Montana border, and all of Williams County except for Williston, so we gave them the northwest corner right now, if everything works out right. But then they're going to have to lose either Stanley or Burke County. And I think the way some of them have drawn it up right now, that they'll lose Burke County but retain Stanley. Now, so everybody understands what's growing out there. The growth of Williston is going to the north and to the west. All of that is District 2 that the growth is in. And right now, there is subdivisions of approximately 2,500 people being built right now, and they'll all be in District 2. So in 10 years, something else is going to have to happen there. So keep that in mind in 10 years if you're still the chairman. But I think that we're okay. We do have some heartburn about losing Burke County, but there's no other place to give District 2 or for District 1 to give up other than to District 2, unless we go across the river, which you tell me I can't do. So that's the only thing that we can do. So there's going to be some heartburn by a couple of representatives up there, but it's and a senator, but I don't know what else we can do. And to speak on Representative Kelch's idea, I have invited the Democratic Party to meet with us when we have our first meeting, and that's going to be this next week. And I can show them, because I'm taking the computer home with me, and I can show them then everything that's going on. And I see no problems with them coming and understanding what we're trying to do at this point.
Perhaps a little clarity on our agenda in Fargo would be helpful as we try to put this puzzle together. We will start, we are going to be at the Alumni Center. It's hard to find places to have meetings, but we're going to be meeting at the Alumni Center out by NDSU. It is also the first day of class, so there's that issue that we had to deal with. But John finally found a place. We will meet him there. We'll meet in the morning. And the expectation and the hope is that the Cass County folks will make their presentation on Cass County, and we'll have a little time after that for public input on Cass County. We will have a presentation on Burley County, what they are thinking that they want us to do. We will hear from Minot. We will hear from West River in some configuration. Then Wednesday, what day of the week is it? It's a Wednesday? Tuesday? Tuesday, okay. Tuesday afternoon, we will have work sessions where folks, we'll have all the computers there, and we can work on how does this, as legislators, how does this configuration of what they did in Burley County and what they did in Cass County, how does that fit into what we're looking at in District 20, 26, 14, 8, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then give Lynette and John an opportunity to check those kinds of things out that evening or later in the day till 5 o'clock. But they will work later. And then the next morning, then we would have those presentations and suggestions on how to get things to fit together. We it would be naive to think that we would have a final 47 plan that day, but I think we can go a long way once we get the issues of the urban areas, their suggestions involved. Then we can work on whatever it is that Representative Holman has been working on, or Representative Devlin, or whomever is working on those other big picture kinds of things, and see just how it fits together. It might be ugly. I mean, it will be ugly, but it might be really, really ugly, or it might fit together, and then at least you have a template by which you can talk to people about the big picture around the state. So that's the tentative agenda. So that afternoon, once we've heard from the cities, we would have opportunities to work in little groups and work on various areas of the state. And if there's any heartburn over that, let me know now, because I hate to go to the meeting and just get them presented and then we leave and come back 2 weeks later. I mean, I think we should use that time as a group to try to come up with some better suggestions. I mean, Representative Devlin might have a great plan, but it might give heartburn to somebody. And we want to hear that and discuss it while we're there in Fargo. Is there, I didn't read your memo, is there a hotel that is involved yet? Are we all staying at the Hodo, or are we? They've only got 16 rooms, so we got to fight over them. I don't think they give the state rate.
No, no, Mr. Chairman. State rate sometimes is a bit tricky when rooms are tight. So what I will do is try to contact maybe a half dozen hotels. I know people like to stay in different places for different reasons. So I'll contact a few. I'll send you an email letting you know who has agreed to offer a state rate. And if it's all right, leave it up to each individual to make their own reservation depending upon their own preferences. But I'll try to at least give you a few options, send you a list of all the hotels with their phone numbers so you can do what you choose. But hopefully I'll find four or five that will guarantee somewhat of a state rate or near to the state rate.
Okay. Any questions of John on that?
Mr. Chairman, we're also working on trying to nail down the Devil's Lake meeting for September 27th, same type of issue. The hotels are a little more limited there, and but we seem to be having difficulty with finding meeting places that are workable and reasonable in cost, and then finding hotel rooms. And we'll update you on that as quickly as I can as well.
A little bird told me that Senator Elke is working on a dinner the night before for the committee members. And you'll get further word on that. But again, we have to nail down the hotels. We had a report yesterday about the difficulty of, you know, finding rooms in Minot, for example. You can't go in and expect 18 rooms. You can't do that in Williston. You can't do that in Dickinson. So, I mean, it isn't that for those of you from that area of the state, it isn't that we don't want to come there. It's just Nancy could put up six, but that's it. So, so we will limit ourselves to Devil's Lake and to Fargo. Okay, is there any interested person in the audience that would like to share some comments at this time? Okay. we haven't heard from Senator Klein, who has a key role in the central part of the state. And Senator Klein.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the comments that you made about how we'll address the next meeting, when certainly the community of Bismarck makes, and whether or not and how they decide to divvy up their population, makes a huge difference on how it impacts that central part of where I live. and where folks north of us live, and it's just kind of, it'll be a big impact, because adding that district certainly takes a lot of folks away that we used to include in our group. So until we've kind of nailed that down, as you suggested, it makes it a little more difficult to understand exactly where those areas that they're looking at to encompass in the community lie, and then from there, I think we can just hopefully move a particular direction and find a home. So with that, I've been kind of moving the little cursor around, but as you jump around Bismarck and wondering whether or not they've included in theirs, if their configuration is what I'm thinking, or certainly it won't be. That's the whole, this whole process, you know, these little puzzle pieces are, you're missing the one with the blue on it, and until you find that one, you can't keep going. So I think we had a lot of work to do, and I understand, you know, the folks that really spend time on this, it does take time. And when you decide that it isn't working and you reassess where you're at, it just causes trouble all the way up and down. But I think when the big communities get their boundaries laid out, I think it'll make it a lot easier for us guys out who are struggling to find some bodies.
We're going to do a demonstration here now. We think. Oh, the other computer disappeared. Jason must have come in and taking the other one. It's going to be ready in April. Keep in mind, too, that in Fargo, we will have 6 working computers. So that when, maybe, 6 or 5. The house computer is cursed. Oh, okay. Representative Devlin has a comment, and then we'll have a...
I just would like to point out that John works very well from Bismarck to your computer in your house. We did that the other day in Finley. We were having a problem with something that didn't come up right, and I called down, and I got wireless in my house, and it just took 2 seconds to connect, and John could run the mouse and everything from Bismarck, and we got it fixed right away. So whether you have wireless or if you have some other connection for your internet at home, if you run into a problem, John can access that from Bismarck, and it works very well. It was just 2 seconds later and we were done and moving on. So feel free to call him if you run into that situation, and he can set it up.
Okay, we're going to start with a blank map. And if he has problems, Jason can work this computer from upstairs. So just start with the townships or whatever the configuration is. What we're going to show you is how the population sits in Burley County. To show you how much of Burley County and even up to the city of Bismarck in other words, what John is going to do is start in the rural area and take out 10,000 people, and you'll see how you can do that but still end up having to go, I'm guessing, into the city of Bismarck or into the suburbs of Bismarck in order to get 10,000 people. And I clearly need new glasses. Thank you. You built them like Reynolds in two counties?
Yeah.
Okay. Or Sarles. But there's no people that live in, town or county that live in Sarles. See, what...
Mr. Chairman, so far I've picked up 2,600.
Okay. Do you have Lincoln or not?
Not yet. I'll zoom in toward Lincoln now. We're up to, I picked up a lot of Bismarck rural right now, up to 9,500.
Because you're actually pretty close to the 10,000, but you see you have to go right up.
I will, yeah, it's, we'll look at Lincoln. And we're up to almost 12,000 when we pull in Lincoln.
Okay.
So if I, what would you like me to do?
They get the picture. They get the picture that you end up, and what's left is about 71,000 or so, which is five districts.
9,500 without Lincoln.
Okay. Pardon? Well, it should be 72,000, something like that.
Let's see.
No, 72,000. There's 81,000 in the county.
Early county, 81,308.
Okay. So, and so you get the idea, even though we don't have the actual lines of the fact that it's territorially, it is all of rural Burley County, right up to the city of Bismarck, and then some configurations there. Any questions on that? And it's the same thing in Fargo.
I just have a simple...
Yes.
John, how do you get that data view box back on your screen?
This data view number two?
Yeah, how did that box disappeared on me? I can't find it.
I'll have to ask the smart people and let you know, because... really? Okay.
Oh, where it went. I can't find it.
All right. I honestly don't know. I'll check with the IT guys and let you know, because I have encountered that once or twice myself and not exactly sure how I got it back. Well, sometimes it just disappears and it won't come back. I've experienced the same thing.
Now, prior to our luncheon recess and our further committee discussion, the computers then, even though they're caucus-based, Representative Johnson's going to have one of them, and Senator Christman? Oh, excuse me, Leeson is going to have one. Okay. So, anything else on the computers? And John, are you keeping it, or are you giving it? I mean, I don't care. I mean, that's your discussion points. That's your discussion points. Okay. And I don't know what happened. No, they don't share very well. Representative Kelch, did you have a question?
Well, Mr. Chairman. I think Senator Klein kind of pointed it out, but, you know, five districts for the city of Bismarck isn't cast in stone. I mean, that may not even work with the other areas. I'd like two districts in Fullerton too, but it's not going to work very well. So, I mean, we can't just go on the premise that the city of Bismarck is going to have five districts and everybody around us just going to be hanging out there. That's at least my opinion. We have to take the whole picture into consideration, and if it works out that way, it may work out that way, but if you're going to leave 8,000 people hanging and looking for someplace to go out in the mid of the state, I don't know. I think we have to say, you know, make sure that they understand that they may not get five districts in the city of Bismarck.
And you notice my discussion, everything I said is this is what they are looking at. I didn't say no one gets anything until it works into the entire picture. But one cannot argue that they, within Burley County, they have enough population for five districts plus X number of people left over. But they have to sell us, just like you have to sell us on two districts in Fullerton. We can split Fullerton in half, put one in 28 and one in 24, or 26. Which, you're right on the border anyway, you could. So just keep that in mind, he'd like to split Fullerton, so it has influence in two districts. Senator Christman.
Mr. Chairman, do we have time for a question?
Yeah, I think we can fit it in.
I kind of asked this last time, and you, Mr. Chairman, explained why it once didn't work in Jamestown, or at least there was a feeling it didn't work, and so they changed it. But in these kind of mid-sized towns that are, you know, 3,000-4,000 people up to 15,000 or 18,000 people, you know, we have kind of a tradition that, you know, we make one district that's, you know, 5 square miles circled by another district that's 2,500 square miles. And is that the pattern that we want to continue? Or would there be wisdom in trying again what you said was tried in the, was it the 70s? At one time in Jamestown where, like I said, instead of a 5 square mile district surrounded by a 2,500, that you split the big town into and you have two 1,200 or 1,300 square mile districts.
You could, well, anything in it is explorable. For example, up in the Northeast, you have Grafton, it probably would cause smaller footprint on two districts if you split the city of Grafton. I think they would not be particularly excited about that, but I don't know. Grand Forks at one time, Rural District 19, had the west part of the city of Grand Forks, and they complained for 10 years about having to have the city in their district. But anything is explorable. I mean, you can take Dickinson and divide it differently, and you can make 39. I mean, you can move folks over and make that smaller, but you do get some pushback from those other folks, and you get the pushback from the city, too. So, but anything is, one can look at and see how it works. I think if you got to a city like Rugby, there'd be a lot of angst if you tried to split the city.
I was just curious if anyone who has worked on a computer has worked any of those angles to see if it, I mean, yeah, there's going to be pushback from someone that gets divided up, but if we don't do that, there's also pushback from some people who end up in, you know, strangely aligned enormous districts, too. So no matter what we do here, there's going to be plenty of angst about it.
Yeah, there will be, and yeah, change is tough, and I know sitting in on meeting in Fargo, it's one thing when people are going to have to pick up new folks, they get quite nervous. At the same time, when you ask someone, you have a district that has 1,000 too many people, they don't necessarily jump at the chance of getting rid of their folks either. They're very comfortable with them. So there's angst that goes all around losing and winning, and I know that Senator Leeson mentioned, you know, they've got to get rid of X number of people, and they can really only go to one district, and the folks in that district don't want those folks. Well, what choice is there? And Fargo saw the same thing with working with District 22. They have to absorb some folks, and they have to get rid of some.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to add, I mean, until this gets refined, to give you an example, there are 4 districts that butt up to Cass County that want people or need people, whether it's the south, the west, or the north. And so it's, you know, in some ways this shift, you know, 25, 26 Pennants, you could come up and take part of 22 to gain some people, 20 from the north, and 24 from the west. So it's, you know, point is Cass County, it's not really potentially Cass County. It could be Richland County, now part of Cass. It's all blended together to get the numbers to work.
And you would get pushback, I'm guessing, if you took part of District 45 in the city of Fargo and put it up in District 20, if they could take rural folks into District 20.
It's going to Towner.
Oh, well, that's the big district, the mega district.
Runs up the pipeline.
There you go, and along the Mullen Drain in Trail County. You laugh Senator Taylor, in 1975, the federal judge, when they did the divisions of the cities, they used a water line to connect the city of Grand Forks to the Air Force Base. And was then thence following the water line, 15 miles or whatever it was, to the Grand Forks Air Force Base. So that was a kind of a slender, and I head that district, and it was kind of a slender line to try to follow if you wanted to stay in your district when you were campaigning. So strange things have been done.
You were never thirsty.
Never thirsty. And I think the other thing historically, if you want just a 15-second historical thing, if you took the map that was drawn by the federal judge in 1975 and laid it over the projected map of Grand Forks for 2011, you wouldn't find that many changes. It's pretty similar. Grand Forks has not had many changes. We had that 10-year period like Minot did with a double district. And that just didn't survive 1991 redistricting. And no one's talking about going back that way. Okay, the next item on the agenda is committee discussion. The only person that hasn't said anything is Representative Munson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I haven't had a computer since last time, so I haven't had anything new to work on. And Representative Devlin keeps blaming my plan for being the one that crashed our deal. But I think it was when I started using his plan to adapt it to my plan, that's when it went haywire, so.
Senator Taylor.
Mr. Chairman, too, actually kind of follows what Senator Klein's comments, too, in central North Dakota. As we look at what is bound to happen in northeastern North Dakota, we kind of know what's maybe bound to happen in central North Dakota, too, in terms of existing district viability. And along with Senator Christman, where we go with Bismarck. And we know there's going to be some push here and there in terms of who wants to be in what kind of a district, whether it's an urban, rural, shared, or strictly urban district. So, you know, as we come up with a map of 47, I guess that's where we're headed, and we'll have to look at options from then. Along with Representative Kelsch, glad to help folks in Minot and Bismarck make sure that folks from both parties are represented as they draw these lines. And, you know, I think we've had a good process to this point in terms of, you know, looking at neighborhoods and lines and doing things right. So keep up the good work, I guess.
And I think it will be very helpful in Fargo to have the work sessions, because then at least we know what the preferences, Representative Kelsch, the preferences of some of the urban areas might be and how that fits into the master plan that we have to come up with. Senator Holman.
I've just been promoted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Demoted,
maybe, huh? Yeah, maybe. Thank you. I appreciate having a framework. One of the advantages of being a minority party is I've had a computer for 2.5 weeks and pretty much have gone through the whole state. But I think what is important is what we're doing here. And I think once we meet in Fargo, it's going to set things up. Because I've worked through just about every district. I've got 37, 38 of them with the maybe 40 with acceptable numbers already. But until the cities are worked out, and that's what we're saying here, and I like that. That's the process that I think is going to help, is after we get the the major population centers worked out, then we can start going out. It's pretty hard if you don't know what's, I've been working on Burley Morton and that area, and it's really difficult when you start seeing what happened in 8 and 47, and also what happened in the rural districts surrounding, how you're going to do that. And it's Cass County the same way. I worked in Cass County, and, you know, and as you stated, you've got, you know, 20, 24, 25, 26, all surrounding there, they need people. And 22 is going to change. But it's going to take some discussion and some education for people to accept those changes. And so I appreciate the openness of the process. I think that's important. That gives people a chance to call us up and tell us what they think. And a good plan in the end, probably. I know what happened to us 10 years ago. We lived with it, and we got used to it. And in District 20, we wound up with, you know, people 100 miles away. But it worked. And there'll be some of that at the end of this, I'm sure, too. Because the rural districts will, since they are coming in later, then we're going to have some funny configurations. And hopefully, the less of them, the better. But once we get down in Fargo, I think it's going to help with us in the rural areas.
The scheduling, at least, you know, one looks at it and says, this is what we plan, and sometimes it comes to fruition, sometimes it doesn't. But this would give an opportunity, if we can get some gelling in Fargo, we get an opportunity then to try to fit all the pieces together, and then all of those pieces that we fit together, we would still have two more meetings where we could get, we'd still have roughly a month or so where we can get public input and, importantly, legislative input, because they're the ones who are going to have to vote on it, so that when we come to Bismarck, hopefully in November or whatever the exact date of the session is, that people are aware of it. Some might have to wear clothespins, and some might not like it at all, but at least we'll have had as much public input and legislative input as we can. I was on the radio the other day talking about redistricting, and guess how many phone calls we had? I did a brilliant job, and we had no phone calls. Zero. Zero. Which was good. I was hoping I didn't get any phone calls, because then you got to answer a question. Otherwise, if you have
If you notified all of us, we could have called in with a few.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
One thing just maybe might be helpful mechanically as we look at districts and how they lie in terms of, you know, one disappearing, another gaining. And maybe John could kind of help us walk through how 10 years ago, you know, if it's two even districts, that's easy. You know, if you're going to add a district in Fargo and it's a new district, you'd want to pull in an even number, you know, to get in the 2012 election cycle. But if it's an odd district, and what was the number last time? You know, you talk about population shifts of greater than 30%. How has that all worked in terms of balancing our odd and even elections when good-sized changes are made? Obviously, there's an election when there's two incumbents in a district, but other parameters.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Taylor, this is my third time through this, too, and I guess I've found that's really difficult to determine until you actually see a plan and you see the impact. I mean, you could set, if you wanted to, I suppose you could set a standard right now and say if there's 20% change, what's going to happen? You might end up having to, you know, you're going to maybe start moving people based upon that too. But last time there was no figure like that. It was determined that if there were multiple incumbents in any way, or if there was an entirely new district or something that with no incumbents, there would be an election. And it was a rather convoluted section in the code that I think one for the House, one for the Senate, that took up, you know, the better part of a page in the code that set out who would run and when the elections would be, who had a two-year term, who had a four-year term. In 1991, I believe the figure was set at a 20% change in population. within the district. And I think legally that that's going to be an issue that you're going to want to consider. Is there a threshold at which you want to require to have an election if there is a significant number of new people in a district? And we don't have any case law to look at to find out what that threshold is, but at some point I think you're going to say, yeah, there's been too much change here. Maybe you need to have an election because of the concern of essentially disenfranchising some voters for some period of time.
I think it might, as John alluded to, it might fall into place. I mean, we just don't know that, but when we get all done, we would, you know, when we have a plan that appears to be moving forward, then we can do the run as to how many new people are in District 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, through that. And you might see that there's a whole group of odd-numbered districts that have, you know, 200, 400, 600 people. Then you might have a big gap, and then you might have a district that has 5,000 new people. Well, that might take care of itself. Just by looking at it, it might say, you know, this is okay, this is not. And I mentioned the one where we had in 2001, the one senator that got up and was concerned about not having an election for some district, because they had X number of new people. But yet that same senator didn't complain the time before when he had more new people and didn't have to run again. So those things become situational. But I think they'll become apparent when we start seeing what the numbers are. And it's kind of nice to do it that way, as John said. Otherwise, we start using that in the backs of our minds as a reason why we're making this change and that change to force person X to run or to protect person Y from having to run. So, Representative Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been thinking about whether or not I ought to make this comment, but I think I'd like to get it on the record. And we've been having our meetings, and you know, so far we've been listening to plans from the majority. Where, you know, obviously there's a majority party and minority party, and we've seen and discussed more what the majority thinks. And I just wanted on the record that, and I think the whole committee feels the same way, that if the minority has some ideas about how we ought to be redrawing, I sure hope that they get on the table relatively soon so that we can give fair consideration to what the ideas and thoughts are, because we're moving along where we're going to be pretty close to the time where decisions have to be made. And I would hate to have the last meeting where there's some minority plans come up and we have to make decisions and quickly, and then the minority feels they were not given a fair opportunity to present their case or cases. So I just for one hope that I'd like to see any minority ideas as soon as possible so that they could be considered in the deliberation that we're going to be going through.
Representative Kelch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just as a comment on that, I think, you know, we're moving along about the same pace as everybody else, and have some different, I wouldn't say they're different ideas, they're trying to make it work across the state. That's not going to be easy. I don't think we're going to have any surprises at any point, in all honesty. That's not our mission. Our mission is to do this as fair for the people of North Dakota as possible. And, you know, we don't want to necessarily knock off anybody or help anybody. That's not our goal. We know there's going to be some hurt in some areas. That's probably unavoidable. But we're not trying to be in any way vindictive or coming up with some secret plan that's going to throw us into a turmoil at the end. That's not our goal. our goal is, you know, every plan so far has been really partial. They've worked on their own cities. We've worked on that as well as some rural areas. When you do one thing, as you know, it affects another, and so that's one reason I made the comment about Bismarck. They've got a lot of population. 28 needs 2,500 people, you know, and they're not that far from here. Excuse me, they're not that far from here. They're up to the river, just south of here. So, you know, that's why if we give Bismarck another district without the consideration of 28 or whatever, what's going to happen to them? They'll end up out there way short. 26 is way short. Not quite as much as 28. 25 is way short. So it's got to be the whole picture. And nobody's there yet. I haven't seen the whole picture from anybody. And I just want to make it clear, it's not our intention to ever come and throw a surprise at you.
And as you heard from the reports, that is also the intention of the majority party, that we want not to come in with something that surprises every Democrat in Fargo, as an example. Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things John showed me the other day that's been helpful to me in collaborating with other people is I make a photo image, a JPEG image of what I'm working on, and then I email it to someone else. And it really doesn't matter whether you've got the computer or the software or not. You can look that on your own. And so I've done that with you know, a couple, three people. If I'm working on something in a section of the state, and I just he showed me, I make a copy, it's in the program here, and then I email it and I, you know, send it to somebody and say, what do you think of this? And then I get feedback back. They can't work on it because they don't have the software, but that's a way. And I think it might be okay, John, to just show that to everybody, because I think especially you know, many of you have ideas and you talk to somebody, but if you can actually see it and look at it as to what it's doing, it's important. So that being able to do that, and I know I've sent out to a couple people. I sent to Jerry, and then look at it and say, and then I get feedback, because I don't know the whole state. And so if I'm working on something in the western part of the state and I'm not very familiar, I can send it to Shirley or Nancy, and they can give me feedback right away on what I've drawn up. See, so that's if you want to just show that, John, it would be all right.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, I think what I'll actually do is go to an existing map, since this is a blank one that we worked with. It's okay. I'll just it's simple to do. We'll make this red area a district here, District 1. We'll zoom to that that area. So we got target 1. Zoom to 1. Simple as a file, save as, and then save type. So you go down to JPEG here. I'll just put change that to call it District 1. What I'll do is, it's typically easier for me just to put it in a familiar place. I'll put it on the desktop, save, and if all went right, simply enough, it's on my desktop as a JPEG. Then now remember, you can get into your email, your state email, through this computer. We don't have Microsoft Office loaded on your computer, but you have the ability either to go in through webmail, because we have internet access. It's just you have to sign on at your home or wherever you're at, and go in through your webmail account that way. Or there's also SSL VPN icon here, where you can sign in from home into the state network and get into your email that way. So then simply attach this JPEG to an email and send it out. And again, as Representative Devlin said earlier, if you have some questions or some issues, give me a call or give Von Ed a call. We can, sign on with you, walk you through it, or sign on to your desktop and actually demonstrate how to do it.
Yeah, I tried to do that and couldn't, but then I haven't had a computer since, as far as doing the JPEG. Is there anything else to come before the committee before 10:15? If not, we'll take a motion to adjourn, and is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion, but before I do, just one bit of, I found very interesting information that an official from Alaska told me. I'm sure all of you have memorized this book, and by doing so, you know that Alaska has 20 Senate districts. It's told that one of those Senate districts is actually larger than the entire state of Texas. So, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I will see you in Fargo.
John's going to give us all this stuff.
Who's making the reservation?
Yep.